continuing a series called Questions, and all of our small groups this fall revolve around this series. And during this series, I'm doing a very dangerous thing. I'm allowing you guys to pick what I preach on Sunday morning. So I'm letting you guys through your red card. If you think of a question about the Bible, a question about God, a question about life, I encourage you to write that on there. Questions have been coming in every week. And in week one, somebody asked this question: how do I know if God is speaking to me? So week one, we talked about how to hear the voice of God. Last week, somebody asked, well, how do I respond when I'm under pressure? And I had fun with that one because I got to bring a squirt gun in here and got everybody baptized you. But last week we talked about pressure, and today our question is, can I be a Christian and still have fun? Can I be a Christian and still have fun? Unfortunately, when most people hear the word church, they immediately think boring, right? A young boy was walking down the hall at his church one Sunday morning, and he noticed a group of pictures hanging on the wall. And he tugged on the pastor's coattail, and he said, Pastor, who are these people whose photos are on the wall? He said, well, those are the men and women who died in the service. He said, which one, the Sunday morning or the Wednesday night service? I'm afraid that church has become the most boring place in America, and I can't help but think God is not happy about that. Come on, we should be have so much fun serving God. This place should be so full of excitement and energy and anticipation. Come on, somebody, we should have so much joy that when people who don't know God, when they come into those doors right there, they say, I don't know what these people have, but I want what they've got. I like what I feel. And it might not sound like a spiritual thing for us to have fun as believers, but I assure you that it's a very spiritual thing. In fact, I would say it's God's will for us. What a scandalous thing to say in church. But I'm convinced that church should be a fun place. Forget Disney World. This ought to be the happiest place on earth. Come on, somebody. I'll start calling my sermons Happy Meals. Like that. I might even put my notes in a box and have a prize in there. Watch, I might do it. I squirt y'all with a squirt gun last week. I might have a Happy Meal next week. I heard about a church where somebody died during the church service. And when the paramedics came in, they carried out five of the wrong people before they found the person who had died. Come on, somebody. We need some life in the church. Now, I grew up old school Pentecostal. We had a lot of rules, and I heard a saying, if it makes you grin, it's a sin. That's not right. Come on, somebody. We ought to have a smile on our faces. But I found a picture on the internet that I think illustrates the impression a lot of people have about Christians. I had fun once. It was horrible. Listen, it is okay to have fun and be a Christian. Back in the day, Wendy's had a campaign, Where's the Beef? Y'all remember that campaign? Where's the beef? Well, I'm going to start a campaign in the church. Where's the life? Where is the life? My Bible says in Romans 8:11 that the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells inside of me. We have resurrection power inside of us, and that life ought to just flow out of us everywhere we go. You're a child of God. You're a child of the Most High God. You have the Spirit of God inside of you, and that life should emanate everywhere you go. Every person you meet, the neighborhood where you live ought to be better because you live there. We're children of God. When I moved into my neighborhood, I said, y'all better watch out. You about to be blessed because I'm moving in. Jesus said, you're the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing. I don't know if you're familiar with a no salt diet, but it is awful. Some of you are on a no-salt diet. I can tell by the expressions on your faces. It is not fun. You see, here's the thing about salt. Salt makes stuff taste better. My wife and I, one of the things we do almost every evening is we pop popcorn on the stove. And what the other day, a kernel popped out, and I grabbed it, and I ate it, and I spit it out. That was the most disgusting thing. Ain't got no salt on it. Nothing tastes good without salt, and everything tastes better with it. And Jesus said that's who Christians are in this world. We are the salt of the earth. That means that we are the flavor. We make this life taste better. We make this world a better place. So how do I become that kind of Christian? Well, step one is loosen up. Come on, just shake yourself loose a little bit. Shake your neighbor loose. Come on, some of y'all are wound up so tight you squeak when you walk. Gotta loosen up. Come on, tell the person beside you, loosen up a little bit. Come on, somebody. Jesus took your sins away, but some of y'all act like he took away your sense of humor, too. You need to loosen up and laugh. Laughter's a good thing. Proverbs 17:22 says that a merry heart does good like medicine. It's a proven fact that laughter improves your physical health and your state of mind. The devil, when did the devil ever do that for anybody? Come on, somebody. God gives us laughter. Bible even says that God himself laughs. And if you can't find anything to laugh about, just go home and look in the mirror. Come on, God's got a sense of humor, doesn't he? Come on, I laugh at myself all the time. Don't look at me like you've got it all together. Like you don't do something dumb every now and then. I like to consider myself a reasonably intelligent person, but just the other day I found myself placing my order at Bojangles into the trash can. Pulled up to the trash can, rolled down the window, and said, let me get a Cajun filet biscuit and some fries and a Dr. Pepper. And then I looked and it was the trash can. Dumb. And I think God allows us to do that sometimes so we will laugh. Don't take yourself too seriously because we don't take you too seriously, all right? Come on, tell your neighbor, loosen up. We all do dumb things. One day I got out of the car over there at Building A, and we've got a Jeep Grand Cherokee. We've got the kind that runs you over if you're not paying attention. We have the self-destructive Grand Cherokee, and this was before the recall. They fixed it, thank God, but one day I got out of the Jeep over there in Building A, and I was sitting there talking to somebody, and he was talking to me, but what he didn't tell me is that my car was in reverse, taking off across the parking lot. And I tell you, it was run, fat boy, run. I think my belly button hit me in the eye, but I jumped in that thing just before it hopped the curb, slammed on the brakes, and saved the day. But that was dumb. I wish that we had outdoor surveillance cameras at the church just for that one moment. I would either destroy the evidence or put it on YouTube and become famous, all right? But we all do dumb things. And you can choose to get mad about it, or you can laugh about it. Let me tell you something that will help you out in life. Happiness is a choice. Most of the time, happy people don't have any less problems than unhappy people. What's the difference? They choose to be happy. We only have one life to live, and we can go through life miserable, or we can be happy. It's up to us. All of us have things in our life that we could be depressed about. I could make you a list right now that would make you cry. Okay? Happy people doesn't mean they don't have problems. It means they look at their problems differently than unhappy people. Think about a great Bible teacher by the name of Matthew Henry. Anybody ever heard of him? The 1800s, he wrote Matthew Henry's commentary on the Bible, a great Bible scholar. Matthew Henry was on his way to a church service one evening in England when a masked man came out of the woods and robbed him at gunpoint. Matthew Henry tried to reason with the man. He tried to talk to him about God. He tried to tell him to turn from his sins, that God is a God of mercy. He would have mercy on him right then and there, but the man wouldn't listen. Instead, he demanded his wallet, and then he ran back into the woods. And as Matthew Henry continued traveling towards the church, he thought about what just happened. And when he got to the church service, he stood up and told the congregation, "You know, I have a lot to be thankful for today." If that was most of us, we wouldn't even go to church. Be in bed crying like a little kid. He stood up and said, "I have a lot to be thankful for tonight. I'm thankful, number one, that this is the only time in my life that I've been robbed." He said, "I'm thankful, number two, that all they took was my wallet and not my life. And I'm thankful, number three, most of all, that I was the one robbed and not the one doing the robbing." There's always something to be thankful for. Always. Philippians 4:8 says, "Whatever things are true, are noble, are just, are pure, are loving, of a good report, if there's any virtue in anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." Got to loosen up and laugh and smile. Come on, everybody just smile real big. Oh, I smell something burning. You better quit smiling. Some of y'all hadn't smiled since 1978. Come on, I believe Christians ought to wake up in the morning and do push-ups. Come on, push the sides of your mouth up and get practice smiling and being happy a little bit. I better keep going. No wonder people aren't waiting in line to become a Christian. They look at us and they think, "Wow, they're miserable." Think about that. Come on, if you want to lead people to heaven, you ought to wear heaven on your face. Think about that for a little while. Hashtag good preaching. Wear heaven on your face. Do you know what the word Christian means? If you're a Christian, you probably should know what the word means. The word Christian actually comes from the Bible. And in the beginning, people who followed Jesus were just called disciples. Then they were called people who followed the way. And then at a place called Antioch, the church was under severe persecution, and people came up with a term of mockery for the disciples of Jesus. They called them Christians. It is a derogatory term that means little Jesuses. Do you know that you're a little Jesus? That means if you're a Christian, you are a living, breathing, walking representation of Jesus Christ. And some of y'all ought to be sued for false advertisement. Why? Because you're not giving the people around you an accurate representation of who Jesus is. Jesus didn't come to bring misery. Came to bring life, and life more abundant. I'm going to read you something about Jesus. I'm going to give you point number one. I'm going to let Pastor Rob make point number two. But Jesus was teaching in the temple one day, and he took a scroll from Isaiah 61. This is what he said. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison doors to those who are bound. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes and the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified." That is what Jesus came to do. He came to bring good news. He came to heal broken hearts. He came to set people free. He came to comfort those who mourn. He came to turn our sorrow into joy. And that's what Jesus will do in your life if you let him. And that is what Jesus wants to do through you. But you've got to be a living representative of who Jesus really is. The world doesn't have a reason to be happy. We have a reason to be happy. Truth be told, Jesus knew how to enjoy life, and the religious people hated him for it. Jesus was a friend of sinners. Listen, while the Pharisees were walking around praying and looking all religious, Jesus was having dinner with the sinners and the tax collectors. Now, Jesus never sinned. The Bible's very clear on that. Jesus never participated in sinful activity, but Jesus was such a fun person that people were drawn to him. Let me ask you something. Do people love to be around you? Are they drawn to you? Or do they hide in the clothing rack at Walmart when they see you walking down the aisle? Because if people aren't drawn to you, then maybe you need a little more Jesus. Jesus said, "We have come that you would have life and life more abundant." We should be so full of life that people grab us and say, "I don't know what you have, but I want it." So this morning, we've got 3 points for you. Number one, fun is God's idea. Yeah. Come on, say that. Fun is God's idea. You and I are made in the image of God, and where else do you think we get our sense of humor from? God himself, in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, God himself has appointed a time to laugh and a time to dance. I think that fun is okay, don't you? According to Psalm 37, even God himself laughs, and Zephaniah 3:17 says that God rejoices over us, throws a party. By the way, there's some pretty funny stuff in the Bible. If you haven't read it, I recommend it. It's a good book. You ought to read it sometime. It is scandalous. It is funny. There is more baby mama drama than the Lifetime Movie Network. There is some juicy stuff in the Bible. There's funny stuff in this book. One of the things I laugh at is in Genesis chapter 22, there's two brothers named Huzz and Buzz. That's funny to me. Sound like they walk straight out of Wayne County, don't it? Oh, here comes Huzz and Buzz at the Walmart. 1 Samuel chapter 5, the Philistines stole the Ark of the Covenant from Israel, and the Bible says that they all got hemorrhoids. That tells me that idolatry is a pain in the butt. I'm sorry if I'm not as mature as you are, but I laughed at that. That's funny to me. Got them roids. Don't mess with Israel. Whew. Had a tough time. I had to tiptoe back to Ark of Covenant back to Israel. Don't sit down too fast. 1 Kings chapter 18, Elijah confronted the prophets of Baal, and it was a showdown of the ages. And he said, "Let the true God respond with fire." Now we know the end of the story. God himself manifested fire from the altar and proved that he was the true and living God. But for the hours leading up to that, the prophets of Baal, they built the altar, they cut themselves, they sang songs, all these things, and nothing happened. And Elijah, the man of God, was mocking them. He said, "Maybe Baal's in the toilet." I didn't make that up. It's in 1 Kings chapter 18. Maybe he's on the potty and he doesn't hear you. Maybe y'all need to pray a little louder to him. The Bible's a funny book. There's some funny stuff in there. Being a Christian, we can have fun. Why? Because God invented fun. People have this idea that sin is fun, but here's the thing. The devil is so slick because sin is fun for a little while. But there comes a point where that fun becomes misery. Hebrews 11:25 says that sin is fun for a moment. And then what happens? You wake up. And you face the consequences. But Psalm 16:11 says this. "You show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. And at your side are pleasures forevermore." I want to ask Pastor Rob to come. He's going to do point number two. Number one is fun is
God's idea.
God's idea. Welcome Pastor Rob as he comes.
Point number two is having fun is best God's way. Thank you, Pastor John. I thank God for Pastor Josh. As I sit over there, I just chuckle to myself. So many stories he tells. And I'm like, this dude is crazy. So anyway, as he was talking about the scandalous stories in the Bible, I thought of one I remember reading years ago. And I thought about Moses when he was in Exodus chapter 3 and it says he was keeping the sheep. And I imagine back then they didn't have Gillette razors and electric razors and things like that. And so I can envision Moses with a beard down here. And he's got this staff and everything, and he throws this staff down, and God, it turns into a serpent. Guess what? He ran. He fled from it. And in my mind, I got a cartoon picture going. I see Moses with his beard over his shoulder like this here, running, looking back, you know? And that's what flee means. Flee is to run. I mean, you're not looking back to see if they're still behind you. You're just like this here. Get out of Dodge. But anyway, having fun is best God's way. And the reason that is because God made us. And he knows what makes us tick. He knows what shuts us down. He knows our capabilities. He knows our limitations. And so there's a scripture in Psalms 100, verse 3, that says this here. Would you put that up for me, Gabriel? It says, know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people, now get out of your way, and the sheep of his pasture. God made us. And because he made you and I, and scripture says in Ephesians 2 and 10 that we are his workmanship, since he made us, he knows what works best. And that's why he's telling us, look, I want you to have fun, but I want you to have it in a way to where you don't have to worry about killing yourself. You don't have to worry about going into all kind of egregious sin. You don't have to do those things. I want to show you a good way to have fun. Now, as I prayed about this and thought about it, I said, okay, Lord, I need some parameters. I need some guidelines for me. And I found some in Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 through 39. Put it up for me, Gabriel. Jesus said this here. He said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your what? With all your what? And with all your mind. Verse 38, and this is the first and great commandment. Verse 39 says this here. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. So in the Old Testament, God gave us 10 commands, but Jesus distilled them down to two, which are love God, love your neighbor as yourself. And on this hang all the law and the commandments. If you will learn how to love God and love your neighbor as yourself, that is going to be a good guideline for you to follow in learning how to have fun. Now, when you think about loving God and loving your neighbor as yourself, that might be too big a concept to grasp. And so I went a little further and broke that down. Loving God and loving your neighbor as yourself means to just simply honor them. Yes. It means to honor him. Let me go a little further. Honoring somebody is valuing them. You value your wife. I value your friendship, John. I value Pastor Josh's leadership of this church. I value Christy and her smiling face when I go over to Chick-fil-A. She's just cheesy. Okay, I value Helen, my wife. I value Jazz and Daisy because they think I'm crazy. I laugh at them. They laugh at me. I value you, and so that means I'm going to act a certain way towards you. Amen. And even when I'm not in your presence, I'm going to be thinking about you, and I'm going to be considering, is this what I'm going to do? Going to be honoring them? Is it going to be valuing them? So when I decide that I'm going to have fun God's way, I'm taking these things into consideration. Is this valuing God? If it's not, guess what? I'm not doing it. There was a time when I didn't know the Lord, and I did a lot of stuff that did not value him, and I regret it today. But thank God he saved me, picked me up out of that muck and that mire, and cleaned me up, put my feet on a rock, established my goings. Amen? That's what he did. So now I want to shift gears, and I want to show you some practical ways to have fun, because I went out this week, and I did something. I had fun. I did what I'm talking about. I went out, and I had fun. I do it every day, though. But I want you to put some slides up, Gabriel. We're just going to have a little fun there. I want you to relax and laugh. Pastor Josh said, loosen up. So I went out, I took some pictures. I went and visited some places. And this here is Herman Park. How many know where Herman Park is? How many have been to Herman Park in the last month? Amen. These have. Me? Now, I went out there, and just so happened I got out and I walked around. I walked over to one of the covered areas, and there was a guy. He was working out on the rafters in that place, up under his covered shed. I was like, dude. So I went over there, I worked out too. I did some pull-ups with him. But anyway, we got a conversation and talked a little bit, and I got to meet him. His name is Buck. I don't know his real name, but that's the alias he gave me. But anyway, we got a friendship. So when I see Buck again, I say, hey, Buck, I know who you are. He knows who I am. All right? But what I'm trying to say is Herman Park is available, and you can go out there and just walk around the park. If you still got a little athleticism about you, you can go out there and play some tennis. You know what? You can take a blanket and a cooler and go out there and lay it out on the... Well, I don't know about that. Ants are bad. You can still go out there and sit up under the covered area and get you a cooler and some sandwiches and eat and have a good time. Flip to the next slide. I got to rush through them because I don't want to take up all the time. This is me down here behind Building A. And I want y'all to look how high in the air I was. See, that goal is 12 feet tall, and I was just, I jumped about, no, I didn't. They lowered it down to about 8 feet. And so I got it looking like I'm really doing something. So I got a basketball in the back of my car that I keep there. And when I see a pickup game, I might stop and pull, hey, let me play. And they might run me off after a few shots, but I'm going to go out there and have some fun and meet somebody. I want to have fun. I don't want to go before the Lord at the end of my life and be like, Lord, I could have had so much more fun. I could have had so much more joy. I could have done so many more things. Because people, when they see you and they see joy, it's attractive. It draws people. It's the calling card for a Christian. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. So, Father, I want to thank you for this opportunity to speak. I pray that you would deposit in your people, Lord, to know what having fun is your way and to go out and do it in Jesus' name. God bless you. Have your way, Pastor John.
I like this tag team thing. It's fun. I'm enjoying myself already. Number one, fun is God's way. Number two, fun is better God's way. Did you know that stress and anxiety can have the exact same effect on your body as heart disease? Stress can cause heart disease. Stress can cause a stroke. Stress and anxiety are devastating your body. That's why the Bible says laughter does good like medicine. It's good to have fun sometimes. Number one, fun is God's idea. Number two, fun is better God's way. And this is my last point today. Number three. Joy is better than happiness. You see, happiness is circumstantial. Whether you're happy is usually dependent upon your circumstances or your situation. But joy has nothing to do with what's going on the outside. Joy comes because of the Spirit of God on the inside of you. Psalm 16:11 says, "You show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. And at your side are pleasures forevermore." The joy of the Lord is a joy that never stops, it never runs out, it never gets old, and is far better than the passing pleasures of sin. When you've got the joy of the Lord, guess what? You don't have to wake up with a hangover. When you've got the joy of the Lord, you don't have to look over your shoulder and worry about somebody finding out what you did last night. When you've got the joy of the Lord, you don't have to go down to the clinic and get tested. Joy is better than happiness. Come on, tell somebody, joy is better than happiness. When you've got the joy of the Lord, you've got peace down in your soul, no matter what's going on in the world around you. You have that stability, that joy on the inside. You can even have joy in the tough times. Because Jesus said, out of us will flow rivers of living water. It's not a trickle, it is a river. And when you're going through stress, when you're facing opposition, when you're dealing with fear and anxiety and worry, guess what? You can just float in the river of living water because that's what God said is going to flow out of you. He said in Isaiah 43:19, I will make streams in the desert, in the dry places of life. Listen, this ought to be a place where living waters flow. This should be a place of joy, a place of laughter, a place where people smile and encourage one another. Be a place where people want to be. Do you believe that? Yes, sir. Will you stand as the musicians come today? I want us to pray for a moment. Then we'll be seated and take up the offering, but I want us to just seek God for a moment today because I feel like some of you guys, you need to get your joy back this morning. You need to get your joy back today. Listen, this week at small groups, this is going to be our fun night. We're all going to get together and fellowship and hang out and have a good time. But nothing on the outside can make up for a lack of joy on the inside. And that's what I want to pray over you this morning. Bible says that in God's presence is fullness of joy. And at His side are pleasures forevermore. If you need joy today, I'll tell you where joy is. It's in the presence of God. We just lift up your hands for a moment in worship. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you that in your presence is fullness of joy. Lord, I pray for every person here today, Lord, who needs desperately needs to get joy back in their life, Lord, I pray that right now here in your presence, Lord, that you would fill them with fullness of joy. Thank you, God, that it is your joy that gives us strength. Lord, I thank you that joy is not circumstantial, it's not situational, but it comes from you. And Lord, I pray for an impartation of joy right now in the name of Jesus. Come on, church, begin to worship the Lord out loud and magnify his name. Lord, we thank you for your presence in this place today. God, we thank you for joy in your presence. Thank you for healing in your presence, for restoration in your presence. God, I thank you that fear and anxiety are leaving right now by the power of your name. I thank you, God, that the clouds of depression are melting in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that you've not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and of a sound mind. And Lord, I thank you. Lord, you promised in your word to give us the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And Lord, I thank you that right now as we worship you in this moment, Lord, that your joy is filling this place. Lord, I thank you, God, for peace of mind in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you for restoration in the mighty name of Jesus. God, I thank you for breaking the power of addiction. Lord, I thank you that strongholds are being broken right now. Lord, I thank you that the joy of the Lord is springing forth in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We worship you and we praise you. We thank you for joy in your presence. God, we thank you that you can do in just a moment in your presence, you can do what a lifetime of preaching and teaching could never accomplish because there's power in your presence. Thank you, Lord, for joy. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we repent of allowing the enemy to steal our joy. Lord, forgive us for getting our eyes on the circumstances and taking our eyes off of Jesus. Lord, we get our focus back today. Lord, we're going to be people of faith and not fear. We're going to be people of life and not death. We're going to stand on the promises of God and claim your word for ourselves, for my life, for my family, for my situation, for the needs I have in my life. I'm going to stand on the promises of God. Lord, I thank you that as we keep our focus on you, our hearts and minds on you, Lord, that you're going to give us joy unspeakable, full of glory. Help us, God, to keep our eyes on Jesus. One of my favorite stories in the Bible is about the two people who walked on water. I don't care what the bumper sticker says. One person walked on water, two walked on water. The Bible says that Jesus came walking on the storm. Peter said, Lord, if that's you, call me and I'll come meet you. The Bible says that Peter stepped out on the water. But unlike Jesus, Peter got his eyes on the winds and the waves. And when he began to focus on the problem, he began to sink. And thank God Jesus was there. He picked him up. Somebody here today and you're just like Peter. You know the miracle working power of God. God has done many things in your life before. But you're in a season of life where you've gotten your eyes on the wind and the waves and you're focusing on the wrong thing. It's time to get your eyes back on Jesus. Come on, let's just worship him for another moment. Lord, forgive us for focusing on the problem, for focusing on the diagnosis, for focusing on the debt, for focusing on those wrong, bad relationships. Lord, forgive us. We repent of that. We get our eyes on Jesus. Lord, you are the author of life. You're my Savior. You're my Redeemer. You purchased me with your blood, and I will trust in you. I will look to you. I will lean on you. I will rely on you. No matter what happens around me, Jesus, you are my focus. And I thank you, Jesus, as I focus on you, as I trust you, Lord, that you'll give me your joy. Not the happiness of the world around me, but the kind of joy that only comes from Jesus. Maybe you're here this morning and you don't have joy because you don't have Jesus in your life. Let me tell you the wonderful thing about Jesus. Jesus never turned anybody away. Ever. The Bible says, if any man come to me, I will in no wise cast him away. That's called guaranteed acceptance. You come to Jesus just the way you are. You repent of your sins. You come to him. Jesus will take you, no questions asked. He will wash your sins away. He'll make you brand new. Here's the thing about Jesus. Jesus never kicks down the door. He stands at the door and knocks. You have to open up your heart and allow Jesus in. Somebody, that's getting ready to happen right now. I sense it in the spiritual realm. Today is somebody's day of salvation. Today is somebody's moment of decision. And I am so excited. Jesus, standing with arms wide open, to ready to forgive you and to cleanse you, to welcome you in the family of God and give you the kind of joy and the kind of peace that you can't find anywhere else. I want to lead you in a simple prayer this morning to help you put your faith in Jesus today. And I want to ask everybody here, if you'll pray this prayer out loud with me. Dear Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I trust you. Jesus, with your help, I'll follow you the rest of my life. In your name I pray. Amen and amen. You prayed that prayer, you've made the greatest decision of your lifetime. Come on, let's just praise God together just another moment. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for joy. Thank you for freedom. Thank you for the peace that passes all understanding. We give you praise in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You may be seated for a moment.